And for as of now, it is still announcement because the final result has not yet come in for a final declaration. So the bottom line is the results are captured at the district. They are electronically transmitted to the National Tally Center. And of course, we also are conscious of challenges in electronic transmission of results. We also have a disaster recovery site where we have a backup of what is transmitted in the event that technological challenges
emerge
that we are not held at ransom, because the country set itself a very high standard in the world and we have upheld it of declaring the winners within 48 hours of closure of polls. And let me also take this opportunity to congratulate a panelist here who has emerged as a member of parliament. He happens to be my member of parliament. Right, so I
you're happy to
see my voter. Yes. Just waiting 10 seconds, Jana.
Yeah. So it's a small world anyway.
Yes. And,
so that's how this process works. So one may say, how are you getting this connectivity from? We have a dedicated connectivity for election results, for purposes of communicating these results. And we appreciate the Communications Commission and government for facilitating that transmission of results to the National Tally Center so that the country knows the progress. Otherwise, if there was no knowledge of that progress, then there would be a lot of anxiety. I would also like to appreciate that the Ugandans have been very calm, especially from polling day to this point in time. They have been calm and waiting patiently, and I appreciate that patience, and let's keep it up as a country. We need a calm country for the good of all of us.
Thank you, Henry. So the other thing that I think all the three of your colleagues here have talked about was the failure of the biometric kits on polling day. I don't know what information did you get as EC in terms of how many, or was it across the country, did all the machines fail? Because the thinking here is all machines must have failed across the country. Did you have successes? Did you have instances where the machines actually worked? And what exactly is attributable to this failure? Was it an issue of procurement of poor machines? Or was this machine tied to the internet, and this internet shutdown in a way could have actually affected their functionality? What exactly went wrong?
Thank you very much. The issue of failure of machines, I experienced it myself because I have the belief that it's not good for me to be involved in counting votes when my vote is not among those that are being counted.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the trouble to be an early person at our polling station. And when I reached the polling station, of course, fortunately, I was among the first 10 voters at that polling station.
Yes,
so I'm
like
actually
you
on
and
record.
Dr. Sewanyana.
Yes, I'm on record to have been among the 10 people who witnessed the opening of polls at my polling station. Now, when the kit was opened, the challenge was that, initially, the presiding officers had been trained to use their ID cards for logging in. But in a short time, that could not, it was changed to using of a QR code, which they did not have at that point in time. And that QR code had been sent to the returning officers the previous evening. Now, the problem was the time factor. Wakiso, in this case, which is several miles away from Chira Division, where I vote from, so there was that challenge. And being that I work for the Electoral Commission, I took the trouble to raise this alert with the chairperson of the Electoral Commission and told him, you know, we have this challenge right now. And at that point in time, there were over 500 people at our polling station. and the numbers were growing and getting jittery. And it was a very hot day that day.
Yes,
and you know,
hot.
And you know what sunshine can cause?
Yeah.
It causes irritability.
Dehydration. You get hungry so fast.
So, I had to perform the role of calming down the population. I made the calls in their presence, and I was given an assurance that a quick remedy was being worked out. Of course, I knew what the remedy would be, because the remedy was there on the ground, the register which is provided for in law.
Mm.
And I had been here earlier on speaking about the functionality of this. Last week, I spoke about the functionality of these kits, and I saw the functionalities.
They were working,
there were lots of trials here and there, but the issue was the credentials for logging in. Now, fortunately, at our center, after making a number of phone calls, a technical team came in, and all the biometric devices were unlocked, and I personally voted using the biometric verification kits.
So it was an issue of credentials to log in.
At some point in time, the information that then came to us was, well, even when some of the kits had been opened, there was a challenge of data belonging to another area.
Oh.
Those are some challenges now that really went beyond the expectation. That means at installation there could have been challenges. You're asking who was responsible for giving the credentials.
Mm-hmm.
These kits were handed over to the Electoral Commission apparently more or less on the eve of the
Just a minute. The kits were handed over to the Electoral Commission.
To the different districts.
Around two days to the election.
So who
handed them? It was the EC handing them to the district.
EC received them from the warehouse of the service provider.
Who is the service provider?
It's Simi Valley. It's a partnership between Simi Valley as a company and then... Is it HYF?
Simi Valley, yeah. What company? Is it a Ugandan farm?
It's a Ugandan farm. They got the contract to procure these BVK kits and hand them over.
Yes. Was due diligence done prior?
A number of teams were dispatched to carry out due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not privy
to those details.
Of the due diligence, I'm not privy to those
details,
but
yeah.
At the end of the day, the procurement proceeded and the devices were delivered. I participated in configuring some of them.
Mm.
That's why I would talk about the functionalities, because I had seen, not heard, about these functionalities. There had been some tests carried out.
But Henry, if these kits were delivered, hours, because I don't want to even say days, I'll just, that's a matter of hours, transportation and so on and unpacking. Was that sufficient time, in your opinion, for the different EC agents who would actually handle this equipment to know how to operate these kits?
The training had been done on how to operate, and as a matter of fact, at my polling station, I found a very confident BVVK operator.
Mm.
That is an indication that training had been done.
Mm.
The issue then was accessing. So that issue of, I think there was that sudden change in the approach to open the device caused us that massive challenge. But this is, at this point in time, this is not the time for me to give, because I'm not privy to what could happen.
That's fine.
But the president was clear about this when he spoke about it. He said, I think Ugandans will need to know more, and this will be after some internal inquiries among ourselves as the Electoral Commission, and through interaction with the service provider, ultimately we shall get to what really
happened
and what should have happened.
Okay, thank you, Henry.
But at this point, I will apologize on behalf of the country that, well, we had envisaged that this would help us a lot in ensuring the one man, one vote, but given the challenge that arose, I pray that, and I believe that the agents were vigilant enough to ensure that there were no malpractices at the respective
Thank you. Thank you, Henry. And the other questions will come in later, but let's take a break now, and then when we return, George, I'll give you the microphone, and we'll have we'll also hear from you. I'm sure you also have certain concerns or questions that you'd like Henry to address. But for now, let's take a break. We'll get back and continue with our conversation here on VPN.
VPN. Views, people, and news. Only on 933 KFM.
933 KFM just leveled up your listening experience. We now have a WhatsApp line and a group where you can share your thoughts, shout-outs, songs directly with us. You can reach us on 074-703-2192. Join our WhatsApp channel through the link posted on our X and Facebook page.
Henry Makavai, Supervisor of Water Data Management Electoral Commission, Engineer Ian Chiyune, LCPI's candidate Wakiso, who hopefully will be elected on the 22nd. He's putting up quite a spirited fight.
He's yet to seek my vote. He can
and he's surrounded by two voters. Henry from the EC is a potential nice voter. On the other side, he has
without
the MPLA.
Them, I'm no more. With the more than 20,000.
You would like to
behind
have
him,
you want them to come.
Now I have over 200,000. It's only that Henry's boss has ensured that the others don't come.
Right now we are looking at the actual picture.
So, Henry has given us a picture of how tiling was actually done, and also given us an elaborate explanation of what happened to the biometric voter verification kits. But of course this brings a lot of questions about procurement issues, for example, which is something we are not going to discuss because, well, that is not his docket. But from any critical mind would certainly want to know, how was this company, Simi Valley, this Ugandan firm, procured to actually, how did it get the procurement contract to provide this biometric voter verification case? Who is behind this company? Was due diligence done? Where is the value for money for Ugandan taxpayers? Of course, more than 400 billion shillings was sunk in this project of procuring kits that unfortunately have not worked. And what will happen now to these kits going forward? But we'll have that conversation, not now, but also I just wanted to bring this to your attention. These are certainly things that everybody is asking and wondering about. George Mustesi, I'll give you the microphone now. I don't know if you have any questions or concerns that you'd like to raise with Henry.
Not particularly to Henry, because those are mentioned, the institutional ones, I've already highlighted them in my first part of the submission.
But perhaps I would also like us to talk a little bit about the human rights situation and the environment prior to and immediately after the polls.
One time I made a comment on this show, Judith, that many of the things we're looking about relate to issues of governance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the NRM government looks at this election as an operation, as a military operation. And I don't think many people would want to go through the election as it is envisaged under the law, many people in the NRM government. Even looking at still the pre-election environment that we're talking about, remember the orders, the different orders that have been given. We had the CDF giving orders about what people should do. And we are mindful that the army can play support to go to police, but at what point did we turn the country that even the most, the smallest of an arrest, even arresting a traffic offender, it has to be the military. If you look at what has been happening in the streets of Kampala in the last, especially 10 days, you see more army than policemen, which is shocking. It's as if the nation is at war. Under our laws, the army's rules are very clear, the police rules are very clear. Is police overwhelmed that it can't even do basic policing work in the metropolitan, that even at the slightest of times? So I'm trying to draw a bigger picture that the even some of the problems Henry's office is facing, and I'm talking about EC, they relate to the issue of governance, they relate to the issue of the orders that are being given. We've had for so long, every time we're going to an election, and it's been getting worse by every other election, We started with, I think, the internet shutdown started in 2016, if I remember right. They took it a notch higher in 2021. Now they're taking it a notch higher. Some of us, even our phones are affected. I don't know whether anyone else was affected in this room. That
you can't even make a direct call.
At least
it's limited.
Yes, it's limited. It's limited, and many of my colleagues are facing the same thing. Some things were switched off. You find that it goes on and on, and when it comes to the other human rights, if you look at, because the environment of creating fear goes to whether people can make go out and vote and make an accurate choice willingly, as it should be, or others vote by staying at home, saying that many of the people, including some people we know, kept on saying, no, we can't go into to vote, we expect tear gas. We expect, mm-hmm. they opted to stay home. All those who have villages opted to go to the villages.
Yeah.
When it comes to the civic space within which an environment and a proper election should be held, 3 days so before the shut the closure of the
internet,
the
organization,
that organization,
yes.
The arrest of our colleague Sarah Birete was calculated to send a message. To send a message to other actors, either in her civic space or even others like her, who are vocal that please, your fate can be as that of Sarah. The subsequent denial of bail, and I'm deliberately bringing this because it's a string of different offices that she's arrested by security, she's taken to court. She's
now arrested and without a charge, held for 3 days, and the lawyers are asking what is the charge, and the police cannot actually also give a charge.
Then when she's arraigned in court, the magistrate gives the state 3 weeks to reply to bail application, to reply. Sarah is a person of high standing in society. Sarah is a person with a known home, with a known office. And those are the considerations for bail. Because the issue, the grant of bail, is that this person will be able to come back. A person who has a known home, good reason from her home, a permanent resident, she has an office, she's a renowned lawyer. How can a judicial officer say, no, we cannot grant you? So, but I don't even blame the judicial, of course they took oath to administer justice on, but it's an environment of fear, what has choked us. And then as it goes towards the polls, the usual communication from Mr. Okello of NGO saying, okay, now these NGOs are involved in the subversive activities. And that word, subversive activities, is in Mchaka Mchaka language. The Ians used it a lot. I even saw when they arrested the Catholic priest in Masakade, and the spokesman said, he's being investigated for subversive activities. And I said, what are these subversive activities? Then eventually charged with money laundering. So when you hear subversive activities, you know that the author is not the Okello. You know that the author is somewhere who has a Mchaka Mchaka background. So you cannot have, because an election is not only polling day. An election is even the process leading up to polling. Where you have over 20 million people on the register, and you have I don't know the voter turnout yet, maybe Henry can advise. The last in 2021 it was about 54%. I don't think, at least from the figures I saw in my constituents, I don't
think it
will go anywhere even close to 50.
No.
In the range of 50. As of now, it's at 50.34%.
Okay.
So most of the people who don't come out to vote, it's not because of apathy, it's because of the environment, and then sending a message that actually your vote doesn't count. It doesn't matter what you vote. At the end of the day, I will decide. So we are increasingly going into that bit of militarism, which is affecting all the other institutions. And of course, you cannot have a proper election envisaged under the law, under this environment. Maybe lastly, if I could add, observers and especially civil society organizations have always played a critical role when it comes to elections. Because elections is not just about the key players, that is the political parties and the candidates participating. Elections are also about the people, the neutral people who are observing. Increasingly, when civil society organizations and even other players point out some of these flaws, they are taken to be part of the anti-government, and they are taken to be as those who don't like government. by Inginia Ian's government. But actually an election which lacks a neutral person, a neutral observer shining a torch onto those excesses, lacks the credibility envisaged. Of course, Inginia Ian will tell us that, no, we have observers. I saw people arriving from Zambia. I'm sure even Tanzania sent observers. You can imagine Madame Suluhu could have sent observers as well. But it also goes to the, who are the observers? Who are the persons? If it's your peers, if you prefer to have observers from South Sudan, from Congo, from Tanzania, saying, oh, we have observers. Because, one, the civil society organizations have been sent into fear, by either by the regulation or by the overt actions and of the state. And then two, the professional organizations, we all know that elections used to have all these professional organizations like Uganda Law Society, they have been crippled, and then you don't even have credible international observers monitoring this. I think it pulls out any the guard out of the credibility of the election.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Engineer Ian Chiyune, do you think this was a credible exercise in light of everything else that has happened, the internet shutdown, the failure by the EC to actually accredit observers, credible observers, both locally and even from other, from the region, apart from the African Union Commission? Henry, sorry, last Saturday when we were talking, we had that discussion about accreditation of election observers.
Yes, we did.
How many do you by any chance have an idea of
how many? But
okay, which ones are represented
as a coincidence?
Mm.
By the time I reached office, which is actually about 100 meters
from here,
this studio.
That was last Saturday.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Our observers were being given accreditation cards. I've seen a team from IGAD.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen COMESA, that's the international.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the African Union. And I've seen a number of local civil society organizations that were also accredited.
Mm-hmm.
To. Of course, the cry then was the late accreditation and for them to prepare to go wherever. But there was accreditation done,
mm-hmm.
and of both civil and local organizations. And I think the European Union is also among the observer entities that are the organization that sent that has observers, because I saw somebody with the European Union observer jacket.
Okay. So that's interesting. But also the concern is locally there are concerns that there was selective accreditation by the EC when it comes to local observers.
Apparently, accreditation itself is a selection. So I accept there was selective, except if you say it was biased, that's then.
Yes, okay, yes, biased.
I don't know whether it was biased because, like I said earlier, because I do not sit on that committee, I'm not privy
to the details
that was used. But as long as the issue of accreditation comes in, it's about selection. So it is selective, but for as long as it is not biased, if the same standard was used for all the entities, then I do not deem it to have been...
Well, because interestingly, some of the CSOs that were shut down had also applied months earlier to be accredited as observers, and that process kept on dragging until we then see 2 days before elections, they are receiving these letters suspending their permits and so on.
And it is not the Electoral Commission.
Of course it is not. It is not.
Mm.
That we know. But I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Engineer Chiyune, I'm coming to you. So you actually mostly see there are lots of good things apart from the failure of kids from working. But are there lessons that you've picked from Thursday's exercise that you think you would want to apply on Thursday next week when you will be on the ballot?
Well, your first question was whether this was a credible election.
Yes.
And I want to agree that we all know that democracy is organic, not inorganic. It's organic in a way that it grows. You cannot say that it just falls like a piece of metal. You need time to grow the democracy we are looking at. And any credible election looks more at the democratic process which you go through. What I've seen in this country is that democracy is growing slowly by slowly. If you want to know the truth, I want to remind you that many years ago, you would see only two, three presidents standing.
Mm-hmm.
But now the numbers which are coming in are enough proof that everyone is now believing that democracy, when you win, when you get the highest number of votes, you'll be a winner. You can see Council Musisi. He has been busy in courts up and down, and we are watching on him. We are saying, this is a wonderful man. He's helping his team. He wakes up one morning, he goes and competes with a colleague who is in opposition, a long-standing colleague. Everyone would say he was the best parliamentary member.
The best member of parliament, vocal and critical. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But he says, no, 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 with democracy, which I know in Uganda, if I go and I present my CV, my manifesto, I stand on my ideology, people will elect me.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of trust, to me, shows me that we are growing. We have not yet reached there, because people always compare us with America, which has more than 200 years constitution, democracy. Now, we cannot easily compare ourselves with such countries. Of course, we can talk about them as a reflection, but we are looking at us to be at that level at this moment would be pain to understand that democracy is organic. When I was taking care of my young children, there is a time when you are so protective, when you are putting all your effort, every time the child is falling, the child is falling down. You are so protective. There is a time when you leave the child now to start walking.
Uh-huh.
And then you are even busy clapping. Oh, there is a song we sung in our language. And then time comes, you leave the child to go, to start running. I used to cross, to handle, up to today, that's when I've failed to leave.
Yeah,
I handle my children, hold them when I'm crossing the road.
Certainly.
Even now I still hold them. But there are things which you start leaving. My first daughter, when she went to university, I was in trouble.
You did every time, nightmare.
she was in Africa, but it was like I had to check. Good enough, I was a lecturer in the same university, so I could see her on a daily basis. But then the next one, I realized that, they can go, even leave university when they are safe.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we talking about? We are now in early democracy. This process of electing people, the presidents and so on, has not been part of our culture for many years, until when President Seven came in and said, no, leaders must be elected. And I think this is the beginning of us appreciating. You see this process during Amin Obote's time. It was like being in opposition was a war. These guys had challenges. But since then, this government started with voting on individual merit. Right now, we have entered into this multi-party dispensation. And you can see, parties are coming in. The first party people are coming in slowly. Few numbers, DP and UPC and so on. But slowly by slowly, other parties are seeing that, no, there is no problem. You can also come, you can oppose the government, and you can stand, and you can even win. That's why now more parties have come on board. If you have seen, this part of democracy, democracy must not only be seen on the day when we are electing. It must also be seen from the process. How were people actually allowed to come in, get their parties approved by the Electoral Commission? They start presenting their leaders in terms of those who are standing in for president, and they were all allowed, given opportunity. You saw people who came in as if they were joking, but they presented themselves and were respected in gumboots and so on, in shorts and so on. They were given opportunity to compete as if we didn't know the standard we expect. But they said, this is the democracy. If he has come in, come and participate. So as far as I'm concerned, the credibility of this election must not only be seen on the few challenges we face, but we must also look at the process, the progress we have made, to the extent that now we have more than five members who are saying, I want to be a president. And everyone is given the kits or the equipment they need. You have seen security being given to these people. You have seen our colleagues standing. Look at Kampala. Kampala, we all know very well, is the center, the heart. But when you look around it, opposition is still holding it. We got only an opportunity of the Honorable Minister coming in to get the central region, the central division. Otherwise, other sections. But the government is ready to work with them. They are saying, you have won, we must pronounce you. Rohingya has come back, but for how long has it been taken away? You see, he was the attorney general. If there was no democracy, these things would not happen. But also him coming back and wins is also another level of democracy. Of course, there are challenges. People out there would say, what would happen? The man is in prison. But also allowing him to be a competitor, to be registered, and to be given the opportunity to compete when he's in prison is another tick for this government.
Mm.
Of course, the challenges we are facing is to understand, these people in the law, they know that everyone is given the chance to defend themselves. When an opportunity comes, they will. We are not happy that some people are there when actually they have no case to answer. But for those who have the intelligence of this country, they know the reason why Cheyenne is outside and why he's in. I've been one of the people who faced some commissions in this country. I had to explain myself. I had to show people that really what they are accusing me of, I am not party. There is someone responsible. And when I made my case clear, they called the person responsible. They asked, the person admitted, said, yes, I'm the one responsible. I fed the commission like any other Ugandan.
Engineer, I hear you.
The democracy in this election and the credibility. For me, I don't attach it only on the voting day, but the whole process.
So you're saying it's a work in progress for us,
yes.
And we are learning through trial and error.
It's
through trial and error.
Yes, it's
but at what
like
point?
Like I said earlier, high tech cannot be stopped because today we failed. But if you are asking me about what is going to happen on 22nd January, indeed, this is what I believe in. First of all, Ugandans, come back and vote. Because I know many Ugandans already.
Just one more. First, I have a request to make to all of you that we stretch this up to 12. Is it okay? Okay, fine. Carry on.
Of course, the first thing is to invite our voters to come back. You have voted Musisi. But Musisi needs to give you service. He has no powers to order Greda to come to his constituents. You need a chairman who is very serious. And in this case, we are almost voting President Museveni to power. We are only waiting for Justice Byabakama to announce very soon. And what does that mean? We need an umbilical cord to that connection. It's not President Museveni in particular, but the manifesto which we are looking at. In this case, it will be the manifesto which President Museveni is leading as the president and chairman of that party. What does it mean? That if you are talking about something different, stopping PDM, and President Museveni is saying, I need PDM to go to my people. Now, how can you who has a manifesto not interested in PDM, be able to bring PDM to our people?
But is there any party that doesn't have a manifesto that speaks about improving the economic conditions of Ugandans? I think all the parties, all the manifestos I've seen actually speak to that, whether it's NUP, FDC, ANT, NRM. I think I never saw the other parties, PFF.
I don't have an argument about manifestos,
yes.
But what is in the manifesto and how you want to implement?
Mm-hmm.
Ugandans now have seen a PDM and they are interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if one of your statements shows that you are going to remove PDM and you are going to use another system, I don't want to argue seriously about this with my brother here, George Musi, because he's my member of parliament. I'm going to work closely with him. I want him to send things to parliament. But what I'm trying to show is that we need an umbilical cord at that direct connection, mother to child. And in this case, districts need to lobby. And as they lobby, they must find someone in that chair who really understand them very well.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the challenge of Wachiso since I left. 15 years ago, I was here and things were flowing smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
But when I left, the same government or the same president remained in power. And because of that, our brothers did not have a direct connection. We could not pick the same things we are used to pick. The chance is now. Because I know the members of parliament who have gone through, their interest is to develop their areas. They need an engineer to go and see and check on the maram and be sure the amount which we agreed on, if it is 150 mm, it must be 150 mm. They need someone who will check on their water flow. That's what we are talking about. If the money is not enough, then I reconnect and say we need more money, like any other government. Even the government of Uganda continues with more requests from other supporters, grants, and so on. So what we are looking at now is to make sure that we can have the next leadership, especially to Wajiso district, connecting directly to the government.
Okay.
However,